remains on and on. 'Cause on and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul, your love. Now I'll never, ever have to be afraid. This one thing, it remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. In death, in life, I'm confidently covered by the power of your great love. I know my debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought our redemption. Heaven's gates swing wide. Oh, the all sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought our redemption. Heaven's gates swing wide. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. hear his power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
I don't know what your guys' chains look like, but I know there's power in the name of Jesus. So when we sing this again, I just want you to think of those chains. Sometimes the chains are invisible, and it's not till we look for them or we allow God to search our hearts that they're exposed. So we're going to sing that again, and I want you to visualize the chains falling off. Because we're singing, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. It's what you wanna do, break every chain. It's what you came to do, break every chain. They're falling off. They're falling off. The chains are falling off today. The chains are falling off. The chains are falling off. The chains are falling off. The chains are falling off because the power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every
to the table, all who are hungry, come and feast. Those who are weary, those who are needy, come receive.
Come to
the river, come to the river. Come and drink. Come to the table, all who are hungry. Come and feast. Those who are weary, those who are needy, receive. Come to the river, come to the river, taste and see. Come to the river, come to the
soul. Only you satisfy, Only you satisfy. Only you satisfy my soul. Only you satisfy. Only you satisfy. Only you satisfy my soul, Jesus. Only you satisfy. Only you satisfy.
Sing that.
Only you satisfy my soul. Only you satisfy. Only you satisfy. Only you satisfy my soul. I will taste
and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again.
One more time.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again.
No longer.
No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come come upon under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light.
Thank you, God.
Your burden is so light. So we, take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again.
No longer.
No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light. You're lifting my load. 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 No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light. Yeah, his burden is so light. Oh, his burden is so light.
Come alive.
My Lord, lifting my load. You're 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 lifting my load. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load
morning. I was thinking about the songs we were singing, and the scripture that came to mind is the woman with the issue of blood. I love that lady because she does so much of what we do. She tried everything to cure her own problem. She spent all of her money. She went to this doctor. She went to that doctor. She went to this magician. She went to this chemist. I can't imagine. The Bible probably doesn't give us the full scope of what this lady did to solve her terrible problem. And I wonder today, a lot of times we try to lift our load in secret. We don't want anybody else to know we got a load. We don't want anybody else. And we'll do anything we can to hide that load, to hide that thing that we keep. And finally, what tends to happen with us, because we're humans, and I work in mental health, so I promise you, it's coming out one way or another. Honey, it's coming out. And this woman got to the place where she needed help, where she needed help, where she couldn't contain the secret anymore. And the thing that she did, there was nobody else that could help her carry her load or that could carry that load for her. Nobody else was sufficient. There was nothing, no thing, no person, no amount of money. There was nothing that could help her. And finally, she said, you know what? If I can just get through this crowd and touch the hem of his garment, if I can just do that. And she was trying to do it on the download. She was just trying to sneak in there and boop, touch it and keep on going. The problem is, Jesus knew somebody touched him, and he called her out, not to embarrass her. Jesus doesn't do that to us. The devil is such a stinking liar. He doesn't do that to us to embarrass us, but he wanted her to know, I felt your touch, and now I'm going to touch you. Now I'm going to touch you. And he was the only one that was able to help her with the load that she carried. We try so many things. We try our jobs. We try our families. And when it all goes sideways and there's nothing else and we're too afraid to talk to anybody else because we're embarrassed because we got our little secret thing going on, one way or another, we can either seek Jesus or we can collapse. And Jesus only wants us just to collapse in his arms this morning. So I'm just thinking, I mean, I don't know what your life is. I don't know what you hold in your heart. But I do know there is only one that is sufficient to help you carry your load. Whatever it is. I don't know what you've tried. I don't know what has failed. But I do know that there is only one that can help carry the load. And his name is Jesus.
You lifting my load. You lifting my load. You lifting my load. off under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light. Make me come alive. Make me come alive. Make me come alive. Make me come alive. Just when I thought I knew what life was like, you make me come alive. Just when I thought the enemy had been defeated, he has. I come alive in you. I come alive in you. I come alive in you. I come alive in you.
Give it to him. Whatever it is, just give it to him. It's the position of your heart. Just give him your load. It's yours, Lord. It's your Lord. I wasn't designed to carry all this weight. It's yours, Lord. I trust you, Father. I trust you, Daddy. It's yours. It's not mine to carry. 12 years I've carried it. It's yours. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I challenge everybody here just to hand it over. Just in your heart, in your mind, whatever, just hand it over. Let go of it. It's his. Freedom never felt so good.
into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you, oh.
When you walk into the room,
and when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. Yes, we want you. So come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. Oh, we want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. So come and consume, God, all we are. Give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. Yeah, we want you. And we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. dry bones live again. When you speak, oceans cease to rise. When you speak, all things impossible. Great is your love. Great is your love. When you speak, dry bones live again. When you speak, oceans cease to rise. When you speak, nothing's impossible. Great is your love. 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 When you speak, oceans cease to rise. When you speak, nothing's impossible. Great is your love. Great is your love. Great is your love. Great is your love. Your love, great is your love. We love you. We'll never stop, can't live without you, Jesus. Get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Beautiful, Lord, you are beautiful. We unite our hearts with you. We thank you for the melodies. We thank you for the worship, for the relationship. We thank you, Lord. forgiveness, for your grace, for your love, your life, for our sonship, for your fathership, for purpose and value. We honor you and thank you this morning. Your mighty name. I say, let's give a clap to our Lord and just thank Him. A simple way just to acknowledge Him, to thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Now turn to somebody, give them a high five, a hug, a handshake, something. Smile. All right, well, awesome time together, as always. And this morning we have the privilege to hear, again, the great Bodini. For those of you who don't know, this is Glenn Bodine. I call him the wonderful Bodini. But I would like to pray over him, if you would just agree with me and stretch out your hands, and we're just going to bathe them in prayer. So we thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful touch on this man's life, on his family's life. We love his kids. They urinate at parties in public, and it's good for a good laughter. I mean, it is. It's awesome. So we just thank you for the DNA that you placed in this family, and his wife as well, and we just bless them this morning, God. We extend our hearts. We open them up to hear what you have to say in and through this man of God, and may you be your mouthpiece, Lord, and just may your peace fall on him and your guidance, and thank you so much, Father, for being faithful in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get this back on? So just for a reference, we were at a gathering yesterday, and both of his kids, one was streaking butt naked around the party, and then the other one, we look over, and he's just taking a whiz out by the tree, and it was just the most beautiful thing. So
the other one only had clothes on because she's 7 months old.
Yeah, the
She couldn't get them off.
The other one didn't have a choice, otherwise, you know, that one, yeah. Good point, Tara. Kids, will you come up here, please, if you are in elementary school? Right? That's about right. Okay. Please come up here. And, well, I'm glad somebody's doing their job this morning. Thank you, Tara. I was just going to. So now we're going to pray again, I guess. And, wow, we get to pray again. We're holding hands. Are you trying to keep them? Oh, that's for me. What is it?
It's a charm.
Thank you. All right, well, we're going to pray over these children as well. So, Father, thank you for these young, awesome kiddos and their hearts and what you're doing in their lives. And thank you for all that they are in you. May they continue to blossom and those seeds continue to develop. And let them just have a good time downstairs. And in Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, Bodine, you are up.
Only one announcement for the week. That's this Friday. We're going to have worship at our house. at varying times, depending if you read the bulletin or Pastor Mike's text, but pretty much from 6:30 on. Or you guys could come at 5 and we'll just be chilling, you know. You can stay the night if maybe we might just have a house party, the Holy Ghost party, right? Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Other than that, I wanted to honor Vicky this morning for stepping out in faith and joining our worship team with no shoes on. That's me, Mom, St. Martin. Our kids love her, rightfully so. But I also thought that I would share this interesting fact about the tambourine. I don't know if you guys know much about its history with the children of Israel, but it was actually made out of reeds and seed pods, and the Egyptians used it as a sound weapon against the Israelites when they were oppressed by Egypt to get them going, like, hey, move it, move it. So they get across the Red Sea. You guys know the story of Moses and the Red Sea, part of the sea. They go across, bam, they're safe from Pharaoh and them. Well, they took those tambourines, the very things that were used to persecute them, and they started singing the song, and they started praising the Lord with them. So that's an excellent utensil of worship. And I believe that that history, that heritage of the tambourine, now you get to bless us with it, Vicky. So let's give Vicky another round of applause. But we're just going to have fun this morning. Josh prayed for me. Well, that's like the 6th time today, but... But he said, just go have fun. And I mean, if you guys know me, I like to have fun. And that's, I think having fun keeps things interesting. You might even hear from my wife today. She's this beautiful lady right here that was dancing up a storm, undignified before the Lord this morning. But it's funny that Lisa, I guess funny, you shared a word, and it was relative to performance, which is what the Lord has been really showing me in my life. You know, it was about a year ago that Lotta and I took over as the worship leaders in this house, and I had no idea what I was doing, and I still don't, and I just pray to God every day that he keeps it that way, because as soon as you start knowing something, you stop stepping into new stuff. But performance has always been a challenge for me. And I think it's funny, God is very funny, that he puts me now in front of a bunch of people in an arena in which it would be very easy to perform. And it would be very easy to let that role define the way that I lead. And it would be easy to step into those shoes and go, okay, well, this is how the last guy did it, so I'm going to do it just like him. He was successful. People were raising their hands. People were singing. People were engaging with the Holy Spirit. And it's so easy. You know, the enemy wants us to think we're not good enough. He wants us to think that God is a liar, because he's a liar. He doesn't want to be exposed for who he is. And performance is one way that he keeps us from our destiny. Because if he can take your identity, he has your destiny. You might as well have traded it. Just like the man who doesn't do anything with his riches. Well, you might as well not have had him. But when we try to be somebody that we're not, we run into problems. I know I have. Has anyone else here ever struggled with performance? I think it can be an everyday thing. You know, we step into new jobs and we go, well, how are the people around me doing this? The good thing is that God's faithful and he teaches us. It's funny, I never thought when I gave my life to Jesus that he would teach me how to do my job better than the people that trained me. But it's true. You know, but you can't be afraid to step into it. You can't let the enemy hold you in those shoes that you thought you were supposed to fill. Because if we keep on trying to step in someone else's shoes, then we're never going to walk out our own path. That's a good word. The Now, looking up to people is a good thing. I mean, it wasn't until I gave my life to the Lord, I let him take the lead. Well, I thought so. And then every day, you know, he reminds me of new ways he wants to take over. But, you know, when we look up to somebody, we give them power over our life. And the ultimate person we need to look up to is Jesus. Because if we're looking up to somebody else, then we're always going to be falling short of what he has for us. We're never going to be the best ourselves if we're walking in someone else's shoes. Now, mentors, like I said, they're super important. And when I met Jesus, I had a great mentor. Before that, I was looking up to who's the cool guy in the room, who gets the most attention, who's the one that everyone wants to hang out with on Friday night because he buys them drinks or whatever. You know, that's just being real with my life. And I know I can trust you guys, even though I don't know some of you well. I know the grace of God is on my life, so I don't have to worry about it. I found a simple ticket to figuring out whether you're struggling with performance and if you're judging other people by their, or if you're judging yourself based on performance. And that's seeing if you judge other people based on their performance. Because we always use that same measuring stick on others that we use on ourselves. It's kind of an ugly thing sometimes when you realize, oh my gosh, I did not realize I was that, my heart was that wicked. You know, but it's so true when you're going, oh, that did not sound good when they sang that, or that person made a mistake, or that person royally screwed up and lost the biggest account we've ever had at work, or whatever it may be. When we're judging people based on performance and not who they are, it's terrible. And I would like to invite my wife up here now. Because I wanted to have some fun, like I said. Tyson, I'm going to challenge you here and turn on this other speaking microphone. I was given this idea by the Lord last night. I think it was by the Lord. We'll find out. Of running through some scenarios that may be a giveaway whether you are worrying about your performance. So if you just ask me that first question.
Does this make me look fat?
No, absolutely not. No, okay, that was a joke.
Maybe that wasn't the best one. How are you feeling?
I'm good.
I can tell he's lying. And how's your purity life?
Well, if I tell her the truth, she's going to think I'm a failure. And she might realize I've also lied to her about telling her I was doing good. So how do I keep myself safe here? So I'm good. I've been good. Right?
Yeah.
Anyone ever had that problem?
And we're taking these all from our own experiences. So we just wanted to, you know, we're relying on the Lord to share our experience with you guys. Not taking anything that we don't know about, because all we know is what the Lord has taught us. So,
and the power of testimony, I just think is so wonderful. Because, you know, it's so easy, the enemy also tries to take our testimony away from us. And if he has that, then where's the power of God for somebody else's life? Because if some one person has a problem with something, you guarantee there's dozens of other people, hundreds, maybe thousands in the world that are struggling with it. And it's not, you know, I was just thinking last night, thank you, Lord, for social media. Thank you for things like that, because people are able to find freedom that may never have found freedom through another way. Thank you for videos. I know there's a lot of corruption, but dude, everything that's corrupt is from the devil. I mean, we can't be too focused on the way things are going and take our eyes off of what God is doing. So if your inner monologue, you know, contains those things where you're trying to cover up what you've done, not that I've ever done that.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Right? So I thought this was a timely word just because I feel like this is part of the season that we're stepping into a new season as a family, and we're going to be building community like we never have, and I believe that God's going to bring new families here, and I believe that he needs us to learn how to get along, you know? If we're stuck judging people off in the corner, how much do you want to be friends with someone who you think is dumb? I mean, you don't have to like everybody, but that's not the point. You might actually like people a lot more if you stop judging them so much. Are you guys having fun? So, you know, in our life, married life, performance was probably the biggest dampener, I would say, to us actually having a connection. Because I believe the opposite of performance is relationship. You know, people say religion, relationship. There's all kinds of things you can compare things, you know, to relationship. But when you're stuck in a performance mode, when you're trying to be somebody else, how can you possibly have a connection with somebody that's meaningful? So, Lot and I get married, and I think, all right, it's time for me to be a good husband. So I'm going to watch whatever role model I had growing up, and I'm going to try to be a good husband. We have these ideas of what we're supposed to do and what a good husband is supposed to look like. And, oh, my God, Lord, free us. Because being stuck in those mindsets where I should be, where I shouldn't be, who I should be, the way I should act towards her, the way, you know, it kept me always wanting to please her more than it helped made me want to connect with her. Because I realized shortly after giving my life to the Lord that I could trust her. You know, performance eliminates trust from a relationship. And it keeps you looking at where you should be instead of where you are. And unless we're honest with ourselves, we're not going to grow into the people who God's called us to be. You know, when we honestly step back and you start evaluating some things and you go, I don't like that about myself. That's okay. That's good. I always, whenever the Lord points something out and he's like, that's got to go. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I shouldn't say every time. That's not true. I like TV. But sometimes he says it's got to go, you know? And, you know, when I'm stuck holding on to things, when I'm stuck trying to be a good husband, when I'm trying to be I'm supposed to be a rock solid leader in my home. I'm supposed to never have a problem. I shouldn't need anyone. I'll never cry. Oh my goodness. I'm so glad the Lord has freed us from that. Because vulnerability is just the key here.
I wanted to say, due to, you know, Glenn, his whole life was about performance, and I don't know if you're getting that, but it really has been. It was like learned in his family. His family excels at everything, and Glenn's the youngest of four, but like you said, in our marriage, even before we were dating, and we lived together before we were married, and it was this. It was a performance, and it was all about the outside. You know, it was that's so loud. How it looks, you know, on the outside, what people could see. For me, my home was always clean, and my kid was clean and stuff, but inside I had no peace. There was no peace. Even after we started coming to church, there was no peace. But I, you know, I looked okay, I think. And but the striving and the performance on one side, it's met with striving and performance on the other side. Glenn was trying to please me, and he was living in shame and doubt and didn't trust me. And so I was over here striving and performing for him and trying to say, excuse me, you know, what can I do to make myself better? What is it about me that needs to be different? And trying different things, going to the gym, you know, cooking, having dinner on the table at 5 o'clock sharp, or, you know, whatever that looks like, you know. And and so it creates this tension, and I really believe that you know, outperforming, it breaks down that relationship that we're supposed to have. And it's the relationship not only between a husband and a wife, but with God. And I mean, we can't outperform God. There's no way. It's like you've heard the saying, we can't outgive God. You know, he's the ultimate. So, side note.
Well, I think as the leader in my home, it was especially taxing on us because then Lotta's trying to use that same measuring stick I was using for my own life, I put on her. And that's a heavy burden. You know, we sing about, you're lifting my load. Man, that was a heavy load. It was a heavy load for both of us. I didn't realize how much it weighed on our family, though. This striving, this working toward being, I guess, what I had in my head of perfection, you know, of unfailing whateverness. Whateverness. Look it up. It means whateverness. But, you know, as leaders, it's especially important. And I don't use this word leader to mean like, oh, Josh was a leader here today, or I was leading worship. Leaders is anyone who is looked up to or held in reverence in an arena. So I have good news for everybody here. I hope you take it as good news, is that you're all leaders.
Right.
If you're in Christ, you're a leader. Because there are millions and billions of people who don't know Jesus that have to know you as Jesus. Whether that's a good thing in your life right now or not, it doesn't matter because it's a true thing. Because I know at my work, wow, that was uncomfortable when I got saved. You know, it's like, woo, this guy loves Jesus now. Like, what do you mean you don't want to go drinking? You don't want to make jokes like this? And it's not that I'm, like, holding them in condemnation. They just, I don't know what happened. God just moved on them because he was moving on my life. And they knew that, they knew, God knew to protect me. He was protecting me. But you know, it was so funny. The people look at you, they're like, well, I don't know who this guy is anymore. You know, I don't know how to act around him. But you know, they're looking up to you. They want to see what you're doing. They're saying, well, this guy just met Jesus. Do I want to know this Jesus too? So we're all leaders, all right? That gives us responsibility too. Because like I said, there are people that are looking up to us. There are people that are only going to know the Lord through us. And he has that plan for our lives. That's a wonderful thing. That can sound so heavy, but God, what an honor, man, to introduce someone to Jesus, to the one who freed us, to the one who saved us, to the one who took our guilt, our shame, who lifted our load. What an honor. This is also where vulnerability comes into play because oftentimes, oh man, we got to go see Stephen Furtick on Thursday. I don't know if you guys... It was there doing something over at Together Church in town, and Stephen Furtick was there, and he brought a word that was just tizite. I'm just it was relative to football, but the Lord really started stirring in me about this. And you guys know what the red zone is, right? Anyone? So it's if you don't know football very well, so there's this end of the field, and there's an end zone down here, right? And then there's this end of the field, and there's an end zone down here. And the area within 20 yards of the end zone is called the red zone. And there's even a TV channel called NFL Red Zone, which if you can guess, they only show plays that happen within 20 yards of the goal line. So it's supposed to be really exciting. People are always scoring. Well, if we're not careful looking at our own lives through the scope of performance, we can look at how we're doing right now going, well, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm in the red zone. You know, I've already made it. I'm this close already. And it's because I'm doing the right things. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm close to scoring. It's because I'm doing all the right things. I know all the right people. I say all the right things to the right people at the right times. And we miss those last 60-yard drive that took us there, that took 13 plays, that three guys got hurt on. You know, we miss those 60 yards of our life that are so important. We miss our testimony. We miss the power of God in our life. If we start looking at our life as though we're almost there, like it's by something that we've done, by our performance, we're missing out on what God is doing. And then we get complacent. And you know, if God can keep us, or if the enemy can keep us from driving those last 16 yards into the end zone, he could keep us from scoring. He could keep us from the prize, you know, that is us living out, walking out, heaven invading earth. That is the destiny that's all planned for us by God. And if he can keep us in that red zone, because I got here on my own, right? We didn't get anywhere on our own. I don't know where you guys got on your own. I guess I shouldn't say we didn't get anywhere, but I know that I did not. I got somewhere. It was on the opposite end of the spectrum that I realized I wanted to be on. That hole that Pastor Mike was talking about last week, I dug one very, very deep. My dad told me something from a very young age. He said, "Son, if you're in a hole, stop digging." Stop digging. He had some other funny sayings, but I don't know if I should bring them today. Maybe in private with editing. You know, if we don't look at the hard work it took to get us from the life that we were living in to the life that we live now. And there's one key, of course, I know you guys know. There's one key that takes us from wherever we were to wherever we are. That's the cross. There's a lot of hard work after we meet Jesus. I'm not going to act like it's easy. I don't know if it was easy for you guys, but I know that was the beginning. Giving my life to the Lord was the beginning of hard work. Because up until then, I was just worried about performance and how I could impress people. I wasn't worried about actually being me. I wanted to be the best whoever. Josh Montgomery. But you know, like Paul said in his letter to the Galatians, you know we're going to have to get into the Bible, guys. I'm not going to let you off easy. Galatians chapter 1, and he's talking to them, he's telling them, "You foolish Galatians, how could you turn from the truth that we brought you? You know, how long does it take for the enemy to get in and think that you got to perform a certain way? How long did that take?" It was like, I don't know, something like 2 months or something, 3 months after he left that they started, all this corruption had crept into their church. And he says to them in verse 10, he says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God? So I ask you guys for your life, are you trying to win the approval of human beings or are you trying to win the approval of God? There's only one of those that's really worth it. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." I'm going to say it this way. And you can accuse me of misquoting or whatever it may be. But if I were still trying to please people, I could not be a servant of Christ. I could not be a servant of Christ. Because if we live our lives trying to impress people, if we live our lives trying to impress ourselves, if we live our lives trying to be somebody else, then are we serving Christ? I know in my life, no. It's true. There is good news, though. It's that we don't have to strive. The book of Ephesians says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You know, when you're living your life for yourself, when you're living your life in performance, it's about pride, guys, let's be honest. It's about What can I accomplish? What can I get done here? Who can I make happy? Who can I do this? Who can I do that? It is by grace you have been saved. Oftentimes we get in that red zone and we go, oh, yeah, all this stuff that I'm doing, this is really working. God's moving on my life. This is really working. But it's not by works that we've been saved. It's by his grace. It's always been about his grace, guys. And it always will be about his grace. And I'm so glad for that. I don't know if you guys are glad. I just want to give the Lord a clap for that one. Good job, Lord. I'm just so glad that it's about grace, that it's not about works. Not to discredit the works, because I believe faith, you know, like the book of James says, show me your faith by your works. You know, it's going to be a natural byproduct of who you are is doing the right things. But if we're focused on doing the right things, then we're not going to be in the faith. We're going to be just like we read, I could not be a servant to Christ. Because when we're serving our own desires, when we're serving our own performance, we're perpetuating that cycle of disappointment. It just keeps us locked in. And it keeps us from who we are in God. And the thing is, I believe that God wants to free us today in a new way. And I don't know what that looks like for your life. I don't know what that looks like for my life. But I'm going to just, if you guys want to stand up, I just want to give the invitation to the Holy Spirit. And if you guys just respond in your hearts with this, we're just going to pray. And we're just going to ask for the revelation of this to really just to hit us. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of working too hard to not be who God's called me to be. It takes hard work to perform. It takes rest to be a child. So if you guys will just agree with this message in your hearts and just invite God in this moment to search you. Like David said, search my heart, O God, and know me. If there would be any wicked way in me, that you would clean me up, that you would wash me clean. So God, we just say in this moment, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the truth that is, we don't have to strive anymore to be something. We don't have to strive to be somebody. We just need to strive to be the best us we can be. And that happens when we're in the faith, when we're serving you, God. And we just thank you that there is no power in hell that can separate us from your love. And your perfect love casts out every fear. And God, we know that fear has a hold on performance. And we just say right now, fear be gone. Chains be loosed. We say, God, you're welcome in our hearts. And we just invite you right now to search us. We just invite you right now in a new way to bring the freedom that is the grace of God, that is the cross of Christ. And we just invite you, God, to adopt us again. We just say, Spirit of adoption, you come into this house, and sons and daughters of God, we maybe came into this place as the best whoever we could be, but we're going to leave as a son and daughter of God today. And we just say right now, God, that you are good. We say you're good. We look in the face of our circumstances, and we just say, you're good. We just say, you're good. There's no power in hell. There's no power in hell. So Holy Spirit, as you reveal these things to us, we just ask for your grace to be upon our hearts too. We just ask for your grace to be upon our lives, because it's easy to get stuck back in a cycle. And it's easy to, even as you're setting us free, for us to pick them up again. And we just say no more. We just say there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. And we just release that power over our lives. From this day forward, I believe that you can do anything, God. And I believe that from this day forward, that you're going to release a continuous newness to us. And this is going to be as a child. And God, I thank you for your rest. I thank you for your rest that sets us free from performing. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 What do we do now? Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
I just want to send you guys off with this prayer, and I just think it's so beautiful, and I believe it for each and every one of you. And it's read out of the Passion Translation. It's Ephesians 3:16 through 21. So it's a little bit long. Bear with me, but like I said, just really listen and apply it to your own life. And I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the light of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge, this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through the time and eternity. Amen.
Amen. Remember this. Be yourself because everybody else is taken. Have an awesome rest of your day. Lord bless you, and I can't wait to see you again.